Hi, everyone. First of all, thank you so much for listening and joining in. This is the very first podcast, a special podcast. Yay! The name of this podcast, James, would you like to say the name of it?
Oh my God, what is it?
Okay, we're off. Great job. The name of our podcast that we spent like an hour trying to figure out, that obviously...
I know, I forgot my... the other room.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing.
I'm glad it was I'm glad it was so memorable. The name of this podcast is Mutants and Slayers and Jedi. Oh my.
That's right. I loved it.
That's right. You loved it so much that you remembered it.
No, I forget everything. Who am I? Where am I? No, I can't remember. I can't remember yesterday. So that, don't even worry about it.
Okay.
No, it's going to... The podcast name is perfect,
isn't it? We literally spent an hour trying to figure out the name of this podcast. Literally.
We had a great conversation about it, actually. And I think we did a really good job.
Yeah, I'm proud of it.
Say it one more time. Say it one more time.
All right. Mutants and Slayers and Jedis. Oh, my.
Mutants and Slayers and Jedis. Oh, my.
Yes, exactly.
I wanted to clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, George Takei.
Yeah.
I know. He's a little problematic now, but I love him. Feelings are hard. The struggle is real.
So, yeah, everyone, thank you so much. This is our introductory episode. So, for those of you who don't know, I was the co-host of the Defective Geeks podcast. I co-hosted that with Diane, who is the leader, creator, originator of website defectivegeeks.com. She and I co-hosted a podcast for many years, and then it came to its end. It was a wonderful, fantastic journey. I loved it. It was so much fun. And James here was a guest many times on that podcast.
Many a time.
He and I had many heated.
We got into a couple of spats during our time when I came on, and we had really great freaking conversations, and this sort of spun off from those conversations. And then I was out in LA visiting the ladies, and I was telling them how sad I was that the podcast had ended, and then we brought up doing another one or like some sort of spinoff and stuff like that. Cause you know, I just like to babble. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I don't know, like 3 months later, and I messaged you on Facebook, and I was like, you know, I think I really miss you guys, and I really want you to come back, and I really want me to be on it.
It's like, I want to do a podcast with you, and I just, yeah. Be about all about James.
Yeah, basically, no. That was not what meant.
It wasn't.
That's untrue. I will not have my lead on the first episode. No. yet. I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically how we met. Oh, we actually met through Gavin Hignite, who did a webcomic called Concrete World. I don't even know if it's up anymore, but I was the illustrator on that. And then I stayed in touch with the girls when I started. The ladies, I hate the term girls, I'm so sorry. Ladies, when I started working at a comic book company called 451 and doing comic book stuff with them as the editor. Still there, still the editor. Check us out. Yay. Blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so that's sort of how we originally got connected.
Mm-hmm.
How I got connected to Defective Geeks and how we kind of met that way. Anyway, I babble.
Yes, but yeah, that's how we met James. And we had such a... Yeah, because originally, you and Gavin were promoting Concrete World. And we had so much fun talking to you guys. And we were like, come back. And you came back to promote 451 comics and stories. And we always wound up going off on tangents talking about just, you know, general geeky things. And typically, James and I would get into disagreements.
Where I was right and Giselle was just sort of misled.
Where James was, you know, James was misinformed but sincere. And I appreciated and respected his sincerity, despite how utterly wrong he was about everything. So, yeah, he became a fun guest to have.
Rude. But we actually have a topic we're going to discuss today.
Yes.
Giselle, you want to bring it up? But yes. I don't think we're going to agree with as much on. But
I know.
We will... We're going to talk it out.
Yes, we are going to talk it out. Despite our many heated discussions in the past, we will be starting off this episode with one where I think we're basically on the same page. There won't be too much.
Yeah, as this is sort of the first episode, we're still feeling out our system, basically. Yes. We're figuring out what the best protocol is. And everything is going to be a little different every time. And we're just going to like... Not every time. We'll probably land on some sort of system at some point, hopefully, maybe.
Who knows? Yeah.
So, but, yeah, we're roughing. It's the pilot, guys.
Yeah, this is a pilot. The pilot,
except for Lost, which had a great pilot, and then got lost after season, like, 3.
But,
We'll talk about that later.
But, yeah, so, yeah, this is obviously our first episode. Thanks for sticking it out. We, you know, always kind of figuring out the kinks in a very first episode. So thanks everyone for listening and bearing with us as we talk about The Last Jedi.
Yay! We're late to the party, but we're still invited.
I know, right? I was about to say, everyone's probably done talking about it and we're the ones in the back like, wait, we have something to say, wait. Wait.
And I think we'll have some important additional content to provide.
I'm sure. Everyone like would be great.
Insight, or like our own insight, which is really important to us.
Everyone will be very, very grateful, right? They're going to...
I guess.
They're going to like...
We're expecting thank yous. What? I don't...
Right. Like we're going to get...
I'm expecting... Oh, I said I'm expecting no thank yous. I'm expecting... Like, why is this episode up so late? We've already done this to death. Everyone has already tweeted about this. I hate you. Go home. But I'll tell them this. I am home.
He's already home.
I got nothing. I'm already home.
Now that we're finally at the party, let's talk about The Last Jedi. So, first case in point. Did we like it? Did we not like it? James.
Oh, I liked this movie a lot.
Yeah?
This movie's great. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so same, obviously. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Were there points that were weird? Yes. But it's Star Wars.
Exactly. You know, that's the whole thing. This is a fictional universe where this thing called the Force exists. And,
exactly.
Because, yeah, it's really interesting to see how split people have been with this movie. They were completely on one side or completely on the other.
Divisive.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it to be this divisive. Like, I came out and I was like, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
And I was like, 2 days later, oh, people don't like this. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it took me aback because I was like, oh, that was great. How do you not like this?
Yeah, and that definitely for me because I saw it opening night. I saw it at 1 a.m. because I wanted to see it on IMAX, and that was like the only time I could get a ticket was for the 1 a.m. showing. And it was interesting just seeing people walking out of the theater because, of course, I was like crying tears of joy. Like, yes, this was amazing. This was not – I wouldn't even say it's necessarily everything I wanted it to be, but I think just because I didn't know what to expect. And I was very – I was just so happy with how it turned out. So I was walking out of the theater, like 4 o'clock in the morning. I need to drive home and I'm a little tired and delirious, but I'm so happy. But it was interesting because some other people leaving the theater, even then they were like, I don't know. I don't know how I felt about that. And it's like, really? Are you serious? But anyway, so let's get a little more specific on this.
We'll dive deeper into that. We will talk about
it. Yeah, we're going to get a little more specific. Okay. So Let's see. Now, one of the things that people bring up with this movie, or one of the complaints, is a lot of people think that The Last Jedi, quote unquote, failed Luke.
Hmm. I get people who are really into old Luke. I kind of get it. But, like, Luke is also the guy who, like, blew up a Death Star and didn't care about any of the people who died inside it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this guy was basically fueled through war. And, like, watching him, like, we didn't get to see all of maybe the steps that led him to where he is now. Mm-hmm. But, like, he was always the guy who would kind of do what was ever necessary to save the universe. And that's what made him such a hero slash war vet kind of guy. Like, he was always sort of willing to go the extra mile to save everyone. And, you know, I think people lost a little bit of that because he wasn't so defending, Leia and Han, mm-hmm. and Chewie and all the, you know, his peeps, basically. But I think there is a very definitive version of him in this film and in the franchise and in Force Awakens, and like everything to me read very true as to a person who has been kind of fueled and created through having to go to war.
Right. And that's an excellent point you bring up, because even though especially the original Star Wars, it's a lighthearted movie. I mean, we forget the fact that technically this is a character that is fueled by horrible tragic events. And as you said, is fueled by war. And so obviously, as far as whether or not I thought this movie failed Luke, I don't think the movie did fail Luke. I think that if anything, he literally went on the path of all of the Jedi before him. Like, that's kind of, he kind of did the Jedi thing where I'm a hero, I'm amazing. And then I screwed up. Well, gotta find my little exile planet now. Like, that's literally what all the Jedi have done before him.
I'm going to go Yoda it up over here, mm-hmm. by myself, mm-hmm. to protect everyone in my own twist. Like, no, it's not a hero. It's not his story anymore. It's not his hero's journey. It's Rey's. So we're not watching this guy who's going to become the hero of the story again. He will come and, like, save the day when it's necessary, because he's still freaking Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. That's what he's needed for, but mm-hmm. It's not his hero's journey. He had that. And this is sort of the fall from grace a little bit.
Exactly.
And I think that's what's wrong on a lot of people, because they get so attached to these. I get the attachment to fictional characters. I really do. Like, I get it. Like, you know, none of us will ever be 100% happy with everybody who's written by writers, basically, because mm-hmm. we have this, like, preconceived notion of what they're supposed to be in our minds, and right. when they don't always achieve that, it's upsetting.
Right, and also Luke is obviously iconic, and to a certain extent, yeah. like you were saying, I can see why maybe people would be upset with Luke's choices, but at the same time, something I really appreciated, and I thought it was really ballsy of Rian Johnson, the writer and director, to do this, was the fact that part of Luke's conflict that led him down his path was kind of this burden of being known as a hero, the burden of being an icon, the burden of, you know, I'm Luke Skywalker. I save the galaxy. I always do the right thing. And he was so of his own legacy to live up to that he almost did something really awful, just because I think he didn't want to destroy his own legacy. And in doing so, he helped to create Kylo Ren.
Right.
So I thought that
now
was
the question I always had. Okay, so like that part I kind of got, but like Snoke, when did Snoke get his little finger talons into Kylo Ren, which I think is something we don't really know yet, mm-hmm. because it sounds like he has already seen this darkness and like this the dark side of the Force getting into Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. When he's about to, like, bring the sword down and then decides, oh, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. So, like, when did that darkness start to appear? Did it, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of that chicken or the egg situation happening, too, where it's like, guys, it's been a little bit since I've seen the movie. So I'm having a bit of a memory fart, a brain fart. But I think Snoke is supposed to be already Snoke. Snoke. Sorry. Snoke. Snoke is supposed to already kind of have some sort of effect on Kylo Ren.
Right.
Even at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like, you know, like, I just don't know how far along Kylo Ren was in his transition, basically, into being like, oh boy, real lost and bad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, how far along was he? Was he, how, obviously he was impressionable and what stage he was. The way I interpreted it was that Kylo was at this point where he could have chosen, you know, the lightness or the darkness, but because of Luke's really poor choice at that moment, that was the final push that he needed, I guess, to go towards, I guess, yeah, the dark side. I was about to say, since they don't really do Sith and Jedi anymore, I mean, it's still, let's say it's the dark side. But yeah, I think that's how I interpreted it, is that he was still in that limbo, but then Luke did that, had that moment where he was like, I need to kill my nephew. And then, oh shit. Right. And that was the moment that finally pushed him.
No, and I think that makes sense. And I, you know, it's interesting because a lot of heroic stories are about the choices that those heroes make in certain situations. And we get to kind of determine if those choices are good ones or bad ones. And, you know, and I think that what makes the story interesting is when heroes don't always measure up to what our hopeful expectations are. Because if they're always infallible and always perfect,
mm-hmm.
it's a boring story, you guys. Like, we like a hero with some gray tones in him, because otherwise it's like, what's the point? Yeah. I mean, not so gray tones like Man of Steel gray tones, which is like blah. But like, you know, like swatches of like, oh, we like motivation that you can understand, but not necessarily always agree with. And I think that's what makes it interesting.
Right. And they finally did that with Luke. Yeah, it was interesting to see people react so passionately one way or the other to this, you know, older Luke. Luke who's seen some shit.
He's some shit.
Yeah.
So if you look at, like, the sequences of films, Luke has had a rough life. He's had a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the first movie, he loses his parental figures. He never really deals with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes off with Ben, and then becomes, like, a hero, and then has to fly a ship in space and blow up a Death Star filled with people that we never talk about. He just kills a whole bunch of people. And then, you know, it's like killing stormtroopers all the time, just mm-hmm. all the time, which you find out later are actual people.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point that I didn't even think of. And you said it earlier, as well as the fact that Luke had no problem blowing up this huge ship that probably had like thousands of people on it. Like, okay.
Yeah. Everyone's like, no, like, it's his nephew, and obviously the connection should be stronger and like all of that stuff. But I think he was doing kind of what he always does, which is like resolving things with a sword.
Yeah.
And a weapon.
Also, though, at the end of the movie, he finally comes to, which is what's so satisfying about seeing him kind of fall from grace, to finally come back recognizing what he did, how he failed. He did fail Kylo Ren. He failed as a Jedi Master, as a Jedi itself. And so it was actually, you know, and that's the whole point. You see these characters fail just so they can rise up. So even though it is definitely Rey's story, and I think Kylo Ren's story, and obviously a lot of others, you know, as you said, Luke isn't really the center hero anymore. It was really great to see this old, you know, this pretty much like this war veteran.
He was having a redemption story, basically. Yeah,
exactly. He finally got to redeem himself.
Right. Exactly. And he's not the villain of the piece. He never became the bad guy or any of that sort of stuff. But he was definitely like, you know, like, he decided to exit stage left and not be involved in what the resistance was doing.
Yeah, he totally left his freaking sister to have to take care of it, Leia.
Well, let's be straight up fucking honest. Leia has had to take care of shit since the first movie.
Yes.
Like, Leia, the boss, she's the queen, she's the fucking general. That bitch will get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you know of anyone to leave behind, you're like, oh, Leia, because she will take care of it.
Yeah.
But that's still, oh, Leia, because she'll take care of it.
Exactly. So great. Leia's like, oh, fine. okay, because I always have to take care of it. You can just picture that moment when he just jumped ship and said, bye, you know, I have failed. I am angsty. You know, there was probably, obviously we never.
None of that. She would have been like, bye. You know what I mean? Like, that's just Leia, because Leia's like, bye. Yeah. You go do that. Han, you leave too. Oh, Chewie, you're going to go with him? Great. Oh, everyone's going to up and leave? Fantastic. I'm going to create a fucking army, and I'm going to figure this shit out. Like, yeah. I always have and always will, because I'm the boss and the rest of you are all just chumps.
Yeah. She probably had this moment where she was like, you know what? There have been too many cooks in the kitchen. Get the fuck out. Just get the fuck out.
Star Wars is a story about Leia grabbing a bunch of stupid white men who don't know what the hell they're doing, mm-hmm. and leading them to do the right thing all the time. Because mm-hmm. that is freaking Leia, and that's Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I know, like, there's the Force in there, too. But basically, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, George Lucas didn't know what he was creating when he created it, but he created a story about a woman who is fucking empowered, smart, and told everyone what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's the boss. So he accidentally stumbled into, like, this feminist sort of side of the story, which is really great.
Yeah. It did, like, her character really, I mean, obviously, you know, Leia is fantastic. Carrie Fisher herself, may she rest in peace. Carrie.
Oh, yeah. So sad.
Yeah. But no, I mean, obviously, Leia has been a role.
We'll talk about her more.
Yes. Yes, we will talk about Carrie more. Because, once again, we were saying before how it's going to be hard to not just turn this into a Carrie Fisher, Leia, you know, fangirl, fanboy podcast. Which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but
I can talk about her basically every podcast. Yes. I might.
We might. This might actually just turn into the Carrie Fisher worship podcast. Just letting you know now. Even when we're talking.
Leia, Carrie, awesome speaker. Oh my, that's the new title of the.
It's just, this is really just a Carrie Fisher fan podcast, actually. Like, we're going to be talking about, like, Cloverfield, and it's going to become about Carrie Fisher.
Because it should be.
Yeah, that's pretty much, that's really why we wanted to do this. We just wanted to find an excuse to record ourselves, like, fanning over Miss Fisher. Pretty much. Okay, What was one of your favorite and what was one of your least favorite things about this movie?
Well, why don't you feel that one first? What was your favorite thing about it? What did you like the most?
I think in general, I have to say, I just loved how this movie just was so subversive and the writer and director took so many risks with the story. And he just, in my opinion, he just said, fuck it. I'm going to have Leia fly in space because I've written it and that's the way it's going to be. And I really love how so many of the driving characters in this are female characters. We also have the inclusion of Rose Tico, who is this amazing character and such a wonderful addition to the Star Wars universe. And
I love Rose. I'm sorry.
Oh no.
I love her.
She's fantastic. Right. She is a fantastic character. She was played wonderfully and it's such a refreshing addition to this universe. Cause let's face it. I mean, this has been a pretty much like white dominated universe, like a white male dominated universe. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, what's really great about her is that she is so all of us in a Star Wars scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, she's all of us. Like, oh, we're in Star Wars. This is great.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Star Wars. This is fantastic. What's happening? Oh, I love you in the last movie, Finn. This is Star Wars. I love this. What's happening? Like, over and over. Yes.
I do, yeah. No, that's a great point. She was all of us. Like, she sees, like, one of the important guys, Finn, and she's like, oh, my God. And she's pretty much fangirling right there. And Finn's just like, yeah, I'm a hero.
How's it going?
Yeah. Hey, what's up? I'm a hero. Yeah. What's up? How's it going? How are you doing? But, yeah, this movie made so many statements that I feel like the previous stories, the previous films haven't made. For instance, that whole subplot with the casino planet, I thought that was really ballsy. And that, I personally really liked it. I know a lot of people take issue with that specific subplot.
I liked it. No. Oh, okay. My my phase is that I think at times I agree and sometimes I disagree with what people have said. It's interesting because I'm like, I really liked it. Like it's a character piece for Rose and Finn. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, like, nothing consequential really happens in the casino planet narratively that you couldn't accomplish by having a MacGuffin or, like, some other system. MacGuffin's not the right term, sorry. Some other way of just resolving the issue of the plane, of the aircraft that's following them. You know what I mean? Like, there was a way to resolve it without having that, like, oh, and then we're going to go all the way to a different planet. We're going to talk to this person. We're going to do. But I loved it.
Yeah. No,
I was like, oh, I'm here for this.
No,
like, I don't know why. In a lot of aspects, it should have fallen straight on its face and failed. But I was like, oh, no, I want to know more about Rose. So, and I want to know more about Finn. So this is great.
This movie pointed out something that I don't know if anyone's ever really thought about before, which is the people who profit from these Star Wars, you know, these, and that's what I really loved about the casino scene is that it showed the people who make the ships, who make the weapons. These are the people who don't care about the rebellion. They don't care about the First Order. They are literally only there to make money, which is an element that obviously has existed this entire time, but we've never seen it before. And I thought that was really cool.
I love that. And I love the parallel to real world that
absolutely.
We all live in.
Absolutely.
Where we're wheeling and dealing in weapons and destructive forces that we have no idea how to control, but somehow we're like, oh, well, we're making money off of it.
Yeah. Oh, well, not our problem. We make the money. Yeah. Business
seems like
business.
A few problem, so let him deal with it. Like, that's fucking stupid, but but like, that's and why would that stop? Because suddenly it's intergalactic. Why would that like not be I mean, I know it's in the galaxy far, far away, you guys, a long time ago, don't get it twisted, I know. I know. But why would it be different basically with people? People are people basically. We suck, and this just showcases another aspect of the Star Wars universe that hasn't really been explored before on the big screen.
Exactly.
What Johnson did in this film was really paint with all the colors of the wind. That was cheesy. But like,
beautiful.
You know what I mean? Like, he really did. He was like, oh, over here are shades of gray, over here are some beautiful gold, and over here is some bright fucking pink, and like, you know, like, oh, you know, just everybody... All the races are in this movie. All the creeds are in this movie. All the horrible people are, like, there's just like so many different, and but like not horrible people, people who are just making tremendous mistakes are in this movie.
Yeah, and no, so exactly. You know, every facet of war, when you think about it, the people who are physically fighting the war, the people who are planning the war, the people who profit from the war.
People who've abandoned the war.
People who've abandoned the war. Exactly. Exactly. And so I guess it's a long answer, but that's just my favorite thing about this movie. Once again, that it was subversive and made all of these statements. And I have to be honest, I love the fact that all the smart people in the movie were the ladies, and the fact that they were the ones making the decisions, that made me so damn happy. And I know that's something that's pissing off a lot of the people who didn't like the movie, and it's like, go ahead, be pissed off by that. I don't care.
Oh, I went back and forth on Holdo myself because I was like, oh, you know what you're doing is taking up the space that Carrie Fisher is supposed to be. You know, like that was sort of my feeling because I think I was coming from such a of like, oh, but this is the last time we'll see Carrie Fisher. And do I really want Laura Dern instead? I love her. But no, I don't. And like, that was hard for me to come to terms with because I was like, I'm all here for a woman being like, no, you don't have the place to tell me what you need to know. You work for me. You're underneath me, Poe. Take several seats. You're adorable. Yes. You have the smile that rocks my world. Yes. You are bisexual. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I don't care what anyone else says.
Yes,
Poe.
Yes to all of them.
Poe is bisexual. Yes.
He's bisexual. Okay, so he has, sorry, tangent. He has a ring. Was it a ring or a necklace? Anyway, so he has some sort of item that he will give to the partner, that he called in his partner, of choice. And I was like, oh, honey, I love it.
Partner.
I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. Partner.
And it has to be Finn.
Yes. This is like the smallest of bones, and I will pick it up and I'll gnaw on that motherfucker because you know what? We have nothing else.
It's like, that's ours.
Just like Tessa Thompson. After Thor Ragnarok, he was like, I played her bisexual. And the director was like, yes, she was. And I was like, yes, she was, because that's all we need. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's more, anyway, more diversity. So fucking important.
Mm-hmm.
Tangent.
It's an important tangent though. But I mean,
I liked Hall though. I think she was great. But I was like, Carrie.
No, and I mean,
it just made me kind of.
And I mean, and that's a good point to bring up just because, you know, obviously huge fans of Carrie Fisher and just the character of Leia, and just like Luke, seeing her evolution, seeing her progress, seeing her presence. I was bummed out that Leia's character was unconscious for part of the movie. But at the same time, I really, at least my experience, I really attached myself to Haldo's character when she showed up. A lot of it's because I really love Laura Dern. I think she's a fantastic actress. And
she's fabulous.
Yeah, she's fabulous. She's fantastic. And I just love the fact that she showed up and she was like, I'm the boss. You are going to do what I tell you. I only need to tell you what I feel like you need to know. And I thought that was a great addition and just this wonderful presence.
I mean, it's a little like manufactured conflict. Like a conflict that didn't really need to exist.
That's true. I think that is the one thing I will say, because obviously the whole mutiny subplot was because they were like, well, Haldo isn't telling us what's going on.
And, you know, it's like there's a little bit of like unnecessary conflict from the people trying to uprise, because obviously she's just doing whatever Leia wanted her to do.
Yeah.
And there's a little like unnecessary conflict from her not telling them what was going on.
Yeah, like I see that too. Like her not disclosing that information to the crew, I see that two ways. One of them, obviously, that created a conflict that they needed for the movie, that extra conflict of, oh, what's her motivation? Why is she doing this? This is terrible, thus creating the mutiny. But then another way I see it is they could have just trusted her and just been like, okay, like, well, if Leia trusts her, then we should trust her. Like, it goes either way for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and, like, that's another aspect that I kind of like. Like, these are choices that, would I have made them? Maybe not. Maybe I would have.
Yeah.
Like, these are just human beings, aliens, whatever, are just trying to get through their lives and figure out the shit for themselves. And maybe this is how she has led every single one of her crew since the dawn of her being in charge of her own stuff, because obviously Leia trusted her and she has been in charge of several fleets herself.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, like, she's not stepping into this without experience.
Yeah. And obviously she is someone with a reputation, because when they say her name and she appears, they're like, oh, that's Haldo. Mm-hmm. Like, so obviously her reputation precedes her. So that is the whole mutiny subplot. I think that probably is, to answer the second part of my own question, that is my, I think, least favorite thing about the movie, because I felt like that was the one subplot to me that felt a little manufactured. I didn't hate it. I mean, totally don't mind it. I don't think it takes away from the movie at all. I don't think it takes away from the story. But that was the one time where I was like, you guys, just listen to her. She had a plan.
But also because it's so new, because, hi, Katie. She still has a really...
It wouldn't be a podcast if one of my cats didn't catch it.
Podcat.
Podcat. Oh, what? Podcat. Ha ha ha.
Hello, kitty.
Hi. Oh my God. She's being a little shy right now.
So cute.
This is
what's her name?
This one, her name's Ringo.
I love that name.
Ringo. Her name's Ringo. She's an old one. She doesn't look it, but she's an old one. For those of you who listen to the Defective Geeks podcast, you are well aware of my cats making unexpected appearances. So,
patios.
Yeah, this is another carryover.
Like cameos, but cats? Patios? Anyone?
Catios? But, yeah.
Trademark, James, on it. Trademark.
Yeah, trademark already. It's already ours. Give us money. Copyright.
Copyright.
Copyright. Trademark.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know if I covered my favorite part. My favorite part. I'm trying to think. I like so much of this movie. Oh, that last scene of Rey and Kylo Ren fighting together.
Oh.
That was like them having sex in a big red room.
Oh my God. Things. I found.
That's what it was.
I agree.
Great.
I agree. In fact, I read an article, I think it was by Vanity Fair of all people, that said that their fight scene in that red room is without a doubt the sexiest Star Wars scene ever filmed. Because the whole scene is pure sex.
It is beautiful cinematography.
Oh.
And beautiful character moments. And just like the fight choreography. Just the whole thing was just like, this woman... Forgetting her name, that's embarrassing. But Rey, the actress who plays Rey.
Daisy Ridley?
Fucking thank you. Daisy Ridley is a rock star.
Yes.
The woman is a fucking rock star. Like, mm-hmm. She is just giving me pathos, giving me humor, giving me life. Like, she, mm-hmm. I mean, she is just perfection in this movie. And you know what? As much as I really didn't like him that much in The Force Awakens, and he was just okay.
Oh.
Kylo Ren movie, real good. And not just the shirtless scene, but also...
Right. Because of like character and substance and stuff like that.
Because I feel like he had a real arc in this movie.
He
like,
did.
I understood where he was where he started and where he kind of ended up.
Yeah.
Sort of understood where he ended up.
Yeah.
Obviously, we like people coming back from the dark side. We like,
oh yeah,
another redemption story. We want him to be redeemed, but he can't now.
No, see,
there's nothing like there's no way, and that's sort of what this movie was about, kind of to me. I don't know if they'll try again. Like, I don't know if they'll try and like redeem him again, but I think to me, he's kind of like done. It's kind of irredeemable at this point. So it's just like setting him up as really the villain now for the third one.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because obviously that's another thing. Cause once again, I could literally talk about this movie for hours. But one of the other things I really enjoyed about this movie was frankly, Kylo Ren in this movie, because after The Force Awakens, I was like, fuck Kylo Ren. He is a little shit.
Me too. In a big way. Like, I was like, oh, you suck. I don't like you at all.
Yeah.
You are whiny.
Yeah.
And like, not Luke Skywalker way.
Right, not in that endearing Luke Skywalker way where it's like, oh, you want to go to Tashi's? Aww. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, Luke, I will punch you in the face. Don't whine again. Like, look at Leia. Take notes. Shut the fuck up. Do your job.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah. But really, I had such a strong reaction to him from Force Awakens because he just reminded me his character of this whiny, entitled white guy who was like, nah, 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 I'm not getting what I want in life, nah, 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 which made him so easy to dislike. And not even dislike, like, I hated him. And then I saw The Last Jedi and the whole, like, Rey and Kylo having these beautiful moments together, and you start to peel back the layers of Kylo a little bit. And I remember in the theater sitting there, and I actually, like, I remember thinking, God damn it. God damn it.
I kind of like you now.
No. And then they had to do the shirtless scene, and I'm like, now this is personal. You guys are just, I feel personally attacked, but in a positive way, and I'm not really complaining.
In a royal fashion. Which makes me go, ooh, that's tingly. It makes me feel good inside.
Right, right. Like,
that's right.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like I was talking about this with my friend Nancy, who's also a really big Star Wars fan. Like, we were texting each other about it, and I was telling her, after seeing this movie and hating Kylo Ren, and then this whole, oh, he has feelings and he was just hurt, and then they have that freaking fight scene together, and then the hand touching scene. Can we just take a moment to respect the that is probably the most sensual thing ever filmed in the history of cinema?
My favorite parts, though, with all of those scenes was when Luke interrupted him, and he couldn't see Kylo Ren. That shit cracked me up.
Yeah.
He's like, this girl's having a moment by herself.
Oh, no, he could see him.
He could?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, no, one time he could, but that other time he couldn't.
I think in the beginning, like, I think the first time...
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, the first few times they force connected, I don't think... Either Luke wasn't there, or maybe just Luke didn't see him. But then the very last time when they have that fabulous hand-touching scene, that's when Luke comes in, and he's like, oh, hell no. And then he, like, destroys the fucking hut and, like, cock blocks.
You're right. Oh, you know what other scene I did? Like, I did, like, that fight scene. I like the fight scenes. I really, no, but I liked all the personal scenes, too. I think I really like the connection between Leia and Poe. Really love that. And I know, like, she was supposed to be more in movie number 9.
Yeah.
And I think they would have that relationship up even more, mm-hmm. which makes me real sad because I think they're developing a really nice, like, mother-son situation, mm-hmm. which is paralleling beautifully with Rey and Luke and then Finn and Han. Like, everyone connects Poe with Han, which is not correct. It's not.
Right.
Poe is Leia. He was like all about Leia. He loves her. He kind of respects her. Not enough, but respects her and keeps him in his place. And those two are the two that are the two.
Right.
Han's the other one.
Right.
Sorry about that.
Well, I love how when I love how some people online, when they jokingly refer to Leia and her son, they always say, and of course, Leia and her son, Poe Dameron.
Accurate. I didn't even read that. It is. It's just freaking accurate. Because, like, her son is Kylo Ren, who's just a big old mess.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard not to blame the parents a little bit
That's something that...
You know, Leia's not a perfect parent.
Well, see...
I love her.
But
she's a mess.
That's something I was thinking about was... You know, obviously the whole nature versus nurture and what happened when Kylo Ren was a kid to make him susceptible to being tempted to the dark side like that, you know?
And I think a lot of, like, the Force and that stuff is a lot of, like, genetic nature stuff. I think mm-hmm. it's hereditary, mm-hmm. obviously, because mm-hmm. we see it with Leia, we see it with Luke, we see it with Han. Mm-hmm. Not Han, excuse me. No. We see with Luke, Leia, Anakin, and now Kylo Ren.
Right.
So obviously genetics happening.
Now,
some sort of play.
Now, something you said a little bit just now was about, like, maybe Leia as a parent. See, the assumption I always made as far as perhaps the contribution to Kylo was I always saw it as Han. Like, maybe...
No. Don't get me wrong. All three of those characters... should not have kids. None of them should have children. Because Leia is too, like, mission-focused. She's like, this is my job. This is what I, like, laser-focused. Like, I'm going to get this accomplished. She is emotionally available in a way that, like, she can have a relationship. But is she sufficient enough to have a child? I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Han, I do not.
No, see,
She needs some nannies and daycare services.
See, I think that Leia would have been like a total mama bear, don't touch or fuck with my son. But then again, I think that's why Luke felt like he failed because he's like, Leia trusted me with her son, you know?
Right.
And also, that also begs the question, at what age, I mean, really, at what age did Kylo start?
What age did she hand them off to?
Yeah, like, I mean, is it like sending a kid to boarding school and being like, bye? Think about it. And maybe that's one of those contributing factors. Did Kylo feel abandoned by his parents because he had to start, you know, he had to leave his parents and start living with Uncle Luke and learn the ways of the Force? So I think it raises a lot of very interesting questions. And I don't know if we'll ever have them completely answered, but I think it's really, you know, it's interesting to think about. In a way, would you think is Luke the real parent in this situation? Because Luke pretty much became his... You know.
Oh, and Luke is not capable of being a father.
No.
By the way. And Han, obviously.
Oh, Han, no. I mean, well, see, like I said before, when I was thinking about, like, you know, Kylo as a kid, my immediate assumption was just, oh, Han did it. It was Han. Han was probably being Han.
I think it was sort of a mix of, it was a perfect storm. Oh, there's like this force stuff that's happening with his grandfather. Mm-hmm. That's passed down. It's dark and awful. Also, P.S. Snoke is rising up and he's like messing with his mind. Leia is like mission obsessed and has her own sort of like stuff she wants to get accomplished. She's maybe not paying enough attention to her son.
Maybe, you know, actually, I agree with that. She may have accidentally been maybe a little bit neglectful because, of course, she's always been in the Resistance. She's always thinking about the galaxy. We're worrying about the galaxy.
General, she's the queen. She has shit to do. Honestly, like, no tea, no shade. Love her to pieces. You know, it's like you point out some of the characteristic flaws of people that you... Even like fictional characters that you appreciate. It's like, you know, some people shouldn't be parents yet. You know, like in certain situations. Anyway, like Leia now, like as a general, like raising quote unquote
Poe,
doing a great job.
Mm-hmm,
Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Good job, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Except for when she shot him. That was a little iffy.
Yeah, but that's just that's what Leia would do though. Like, all right, discipline, boom, set to stun.
That's what Leia would do. That's a problem. that's a problem. Han, obviously, a disaster of a parent. And ready to, like, skip town when it gets rough.
Well, yeah, I mean, because literally that's what he did. Because obviously they never officially say it, but Leia and Han pretty much got space divorce, I think, or space separated. Or
we're taking a time out.
Yeah, for years, I assume. I assume it had been years since they'd seen each other.
On a break! You could just hear him shouting that. Luke should not have been... Luke, it can be like the cool gay uncle.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he's gay, you guys. He's gay. Luke could be the cool gay uncle. Don't care what it says in the comics, the books. He's gay. Either a virgin or he's gay. He's asexual or gay. He's one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, girl? That's interesting. I think he's probably... I mean, the way... As I got older and I became more aware of, you know, different sexualities and whatnot, I always just assumed that Luke Skywalker was asexual, kind of like a monk, so to speak. Or either that or just took some kind of Jedi vow of celibacy. Even though I love the books, you know, with Mara Jade and all of that, and I do love those stories, but I think just because I was so attached to the movies, that is the version of him that I tend to envision and lean towards.
I love the idea of Mara Jade.
Oh, like,
Mara
Jade is a
character herself.
Yeah, she's a badass.
But I was like, I'm not really that interested in Luke Skywalker getting married and then having a bunch of weird clones based off of him. Like, I'm not here for any of that. I'm kind of glad they erased that whole thing because I was like, oh, he has an evil twin. And then he has an even worse clone twin. Really stupid names. Like, oh no. Yeah, I know you can erase all of that. Get rid of all of that. I was like, keep what you want. Get rid of that situation.
Just that one. Bring you're like, okay, not feeling it.
Yeah. Bring in Mara Jade, make her single. Great.
That was another character that I would have loved to have seen in a live action version. Like, oh, Mara Jade, she's so freaking cool. Like, because she kind of started off on the dark side, but she was kind of a rebel. At the same time, she was a spy.
Great.
Yeah.
No, all day long.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to continue on.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the movie.
So... So yeah, I agree that, and that's what's so interesting that with these movies, and then when you really think about Kylo Ren and his upbringing, because like you said before, it really was a perfect storm because you have these three people with their Leia, who's so focused, Han, who's Han, etc. And then you have the added on pressure and entitlement of his legacy. He knows who he is. He's a Skywalker. He's a Solo, you know, so there's also going to be, you know, that
future of like so much to succeed or try to prevail or like live up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a pressure, but also an entitlement there, which I think is a very interesting combination. So that,
yes,
like you said, like Kylo Ren was destined to happen, in my opinion.
Me too.
You know, it was like Kylo Ren was destined to happen. And like, even in the books, like one of their children, I believe it's Jason Solo, if I remember correctly. I think he's the one that turns into a Sith in the books. James is just shaking his head, looking at me like, yeah, sure. Yeah. whatever you say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone please correct me if I'm wrong. Sounds accurate.
Somebody will. Somebody will come out of the woodwork and be like, oh, his name was, I don't know. Like, what, you know, Radiator, you know, Radiator Skywalker. I don't know.
Radiator Skywalker?
Someone make it a name. Someone make it a character.
Radiator Skywalker?
Yes. I like that. Heather Antos of, she's the editor on Star Wars. You can have that one.
Radiator. We'll give that, we will not trademark that one. We will let you have that one for free. All right. Just because I'm nitpickety, I'm literally looking up Jason Solo right now. Because.
Please do.
Let's see. He's the brother of Jaina and Anakin Solo.
There are too many of them. That's another problem.
They had so many children. Jedi. No, I don't want to.
They all survived. One of them had to die, right?
One of them did pass away. Oh my god. Why? I would like to point out that the Wikipedia page for this fictional character is easily the most detailed Wikipedia page I've ever seen in my entire life. There we go. Okay, I think. Good lord.
That sounds like Star Wars.
Yeah. No, really. I've never seen a Wikipedia. And this isn't like the Star Wars wiki. This is Wikipedia.
Really?
All right, this is way too long. I just wanted a quick answer. Never mind. Anyway, the point is one of their kids, one of the Solo children, I remember, they turned to the dark side. So I think it's really cool that they did that with Kylo because it was the perfect formula for disaster for him with those three people as his adult guides.
They didn't need two other ones who are like on the straight and narrow. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Possibly give a shit. Sorry.
It would have been too, I think it would have been too, for a cinematic universe, that would have been too many people. But, and okay, so I want to go back to, there was a point I made, I was in the middle of making earlier, and then we went on.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize. Because this, what I'm about to say.
Part of this show is us just kind of going off and talking about random shit.
So, this is obviously a very important point, which is why I'm going out of my way to make it. When I was speaking to my friend, who's also the big Star Wars fan, and I was talking about how, you know, Force Awakens, screw Kylo Ren, little shit, killed Han Solo, hate this guy, blah, 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 he's whiny. I see Force Awakens, and then it's like, oh no. And then I'm texting her, and it's like, I feel like I'm a 13-year-old fangirling again. Like, I'm going to admit something. I haven't fangirled this hard probably in, like, a decade. Because, and really? Thinking this now sensitive hurt inside Kylo Ren speaks to the dumb teenage girl that will be forever stuck inside of me. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh my god, I went from literally hating Kylo Ren, and now I'm fangirling hardcore over him. The people who ship Rey and Kylo, the Reylo shippers, also online, if you look it up, they also refer to themselves as trash because we are well aware of the poor life choices we have just made. So
that's a lot.
Right? So
there are a lot of wrong choices happening.
Right. And this is one of the bigger ones, I think, of all. Yeah.
Because they in no way belong together.
No, they don't.
Not be,
but their chemistry and the sexual tension, James.
Well, I think it's interesting because you could see them trying to like line up Rey and Finn together.
A little bit, yeah. Then,
yeah, and I think that they're great as friends. Those two actors didn't have like, ooh, baby, hit me, baby, one more time. There's chemistry between Daisy Ridley and
Adam Driver.
I don't know, long drink of water, Adam Driver.
Adam Driver.
Like, he is, you know, he's not traditionally attractive.
I find him very attractive. I think he's a very attractive man.
I find his, from the neck down, attractive. Okay. And superficial and awful. I'm everything that's wrong with the gay society. kind of. But he, you know, like, I'm not attracted to the facial region.
Really? Oh, I'm all about it.
Not so much. He's a good actor. And I get it. Like, I get that he's not ugly, but he's just like not my...
He's not your cup of tea. He's not like your type, is what you're saying.
Yes.
We all have... It's okay. We all have types. We all have types. Yeah. We all have like aesthetics we lean towards more than the other. So he's just not your type.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's my type. Like, he's definitely... And
he's doing a great job in this new movie, in Last Jedi.
Oh, he's a fantastic actor. I mean, even after The Force Awakens, and even though I had this deep, fiery, hot hatred of 1,000 Suns for Kylo Ren, I would still be the first to say, I mean, Adam Driver is fantastic, and he did an amazing job. But fuck Kylo Ren. You know, fuck that guy.
Yeah, I don't think he had a little... Oh. And I don't want to say, like, I think J.J. Abrams did a great job on Force Awakens. Correction. I think he did a good job on Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
I hold off great, because great is reserved for those movies that are, like, really amazing. Like, let's calm down. Like, Last Jedi is a good movie. Mm-hmm. It's a very good movie. Not great. Force Awakens is a very good movie. Not great.
Oh, really? See, the way I am is I thought that Force Awakens was really good. And for me, The Last Jedi was great. But then again, opinion. Like,
of course, yeah. No, and like, I think they're like, trajectory-wise, in my personal opinion, are going in the right direction. They're like, leaning away from just... The problem with Force Awakens that I always had was like, oh, this is a very familiar plot.
Mm-hmm.
Because we literally are doing the same plot.
See, I
mean, and then they did Rogue One, which is about a Death Star again. And I was like, you guys have got to find a new weapon of choice.
I loved Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was fan-freaking-tastic.
Rogue One was okay.
Really? Oh, see, I loved Rogue One because, okay, once again, this would be another tangent.
I know.
Okay, so all I'm going to say is, okay, I thoroughly
enjoyed. Let's have a Rogue One episode too. But
we
go
will
have.
Okay. Okay. So I think it's officially. I think we've just officially decided we're just going to do a bunch of retro podcasts for the current Star Wars movies.
Just all Star Wars movies.
Just all. Okay. So this is actually going to be okay. So like we said earlier, this is going to be a Carrie Fisher / Star Wars podcast.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it's been decided. We might talk about other stuff too. I don't know. Maybe. Who cares? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening. We actually had to split this episode into two parts because we talked so long about it. So yeah, sorry for the abrupt end of that conversation. The second part of this episode will be posted next week so you can hear the rest of our obviously awesome and super educated discussion. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for listening and we will catch you next time.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much again for listening to our first fantastic, amazing episode. I know. Applause. However, I also wanted to let you all know that I am an editor for a new comic book Kickstarter coming soon. So please check out our website at iamhexed.com. iamhexed.com. Check it out, and we'll see you guys next time. Thank you. Bye.